Locally owned and operated.
The American people are waiting. Have you a statement?
1230 The Voice is WXCO Wausau.
Everyone, and welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8 today. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Sort of a Christmas message, actually, this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, looking at the birth of Jesus, the Bible says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." You know, shepherds were despised in that day. People did not like them. People did not trust them. Many of them were thieves. Many of them were liars. In fact, they had such a horrible reputation that they were not allowed to testify in court. Their testimony was worthless. And furthermore, even worse, I suppose, they were not welcomed in town. They had to stay out in the country. And so it's to these shepherds that God sends the angel. Look at this. Verse 9. It says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Now, God could have sent this angel to announce the birth of his son to anyone. And one might think that he would have sent him to an important merchant, right? Or a political ruler or a religious leader, but he did not. Conventional wisdom would think that the angel would be sent to someone that the world thinks is important, but God seldom acts according to conventional wisdom because the values of conventional wisdom rarely line up with God's values. And so God sent this angel to the down and dirty, lowly, despised, outcast of society, the shepherds. And among other things, God was saying, no one is too despised, no one is too uncool, no one is too backwards for me to care about. 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Now, the shepherds were afraid in the presence of this angel. They were afraid for the same reason Mary was, for the same reason Zechariah was. They were afraid because they were sinners, and they knew it. And when sinners come in contact with holiness, there's fear. And believe me, if they ever forgot that they were sinners, there were plenty of people in that day who would remind them. But they were afraid. But they didn't have to be. Because the angel was not there to judge or to condemn. He was there to tell them that the Savior was born and that that Savior was even for them, the lowly shepherds. Good thing the angel appeared to them. Because if the angel would have appeared to somebody else in society, the shepherds never would have believed that the Savior was for them also. God specifically went to them. Verse 12. "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And I've got to tell you, the first part wasn't unusual, but the second part was. Babies were often wrapped tight with cloths, but most likely none were ever put in an animal feeding trough. But consider this. If the Son of God would have been born in a palace, which is what he deserved, or in a nice inn or in someone's house, You know, the shepherds never would have been allowed to see him. Never. They never would have gotten past the door. They were so despised. But he was born in a stable. Even shepherds are allowed in stables. Mary and Joseph and Jesus were in a barn. And they were not in this stable because God couldn't figure out how to get them into a nice home. They were in a stable because that is exactly where God wanted them to be. Inconvenient, yes. Unpleasant, no doubt. But sometimes God asks us to be inconvenienced and uncomfortable as Christians for the sake of others. An ivory tower Christian who doesn't know what life is like in the real world can't identify with miserable sinners who are going through tough times. Verse 13. It says, suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth to men, peace on earth to men, whom his favor rests. Now, that one angel is replaced by a whole skyful, and they're singing, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Peace on earth is what Jesus brought. You say, I don't see much peace. It's not talking about that kind of peace. Not right now, anyway. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Someone says, oh, yes, everyone should get along. Well, that would be nice if it was possible, but that's not why Jesus came. He didn't come to bring peace at any price. He didn't come to bring peace between good and evil, or between truth and error, or between sinners and saints. He came to bring peace between us and God by dying for our sins. That's what this piece is talking about. 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. The angels deliver their message to the shepherds, and then they leave. You know, angels are never seen hanging around after they do their work, after they complete their assignment. They don't get into small talk. They're working for God. They don't waste time. They take their role seriously. And so they leave. And it says concerning the shepherds in verse 16, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And no doubt the shepherds told Mary and Joseph all about the angelic visit. They had to. And what a great encouragement that must have been. What a great encouragement to Joseph and Mary, who find themselves in a stable with God's son. Not very pleasant, but now they know God is with them. Not just in the presence of Jesus, but they didn't mess up. They're in that barn for a reason. And you know, unpleasant surroundings and circumstances are much easier to handle when you are reminded of God's presence and approval. 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And like the shepherds, God has called Christians to be witnesses for Christ. They went out, they told everybody about what they had experienced with the angels and with Jesus. They were witnesses to Christ. That's what Christians are supposed to be, witnesses. And it doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to take a class on personal evangelism or how to witness for Jesus or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with those things, but they do become a problem when they are just a busy work substitute for simply telling people about Christ and your experience with him. In fact, several years ago, I heard with my own two ears a Baptist minister in person say that every Christian should go to a technical college and take a class on salesmanship so that they can sell Jesus to the unsaved. Man, I can't tell you how stupid that is. I can't tell you how ridiculous and worldly-minded that is. You can't sell Jesus to anyone. I don't care how much of a slick talker you are. It doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit is the one who sells Jesus. simply tell people what Christ has done for you. If you have faith in Jesus and you know he has saved you as a result and forgiven you, simply tell people that. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. And the Holy Spirit will take that simple message. And that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I should say, will apply it and burn it in the heart of the people who need to understand that Christ died for them. And he will draw them to Christ if they are open. Let's look at verse 18. It says, "And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them." Now, consider what may have been going through the mind of the people who listened to the shepherd's story. And you're going to understand, I think, why they were amazed. Now, the people in general were expecting a Savior. And they were expecting him to be born in Bethlehem because the Bible said that. However, they never expected the Savior to be born in a barn. And they never expected him to have humble parents. And they never expected his birth to be announced to the lowly shepherds. So that's what had them amazed. And on the other hand, the shepherds aren't the type to care about religious things, so they're not going to make up a story like that. So all these things put together made the people scratch their heads in amazement. None of it really made sense. It wasn't the way they expected it to happen. Verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary had a lot to ponder. Can you imagine that? It is Mother's Day, by the way. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there listening this morning. And, of course, mothers usually don't forget the things that happened concerning their children. They remember things probably better than most fathers. And think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she had many, many more things to consider than most mothers. So she pondered. Verse 20. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Well, the people who the shepherds talked to about Jesus and the angels and stuff like that didn't get as excited about Christ as the shepherds themselves. And I suppose one reason is that the shepherds are the ones who had the angelic experience. But there's another reason, a reason which holds true today. The down and out and the despised are often more ready to receive the things of God than the more fortunate. Sometimes people have to hit rock bottom before they are open to listening to what God has to say in his holy word. Verse 21. Actually, this is a real good time for us to take our break. So I am going to do that. Please listen to this. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
How early can babies learn language? Find out next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
The evidence continues to mount that human beings, unlike any other creature on Earth, are born with language ability. We even begin learning the unique characteristics of our own language at a very young age. Research shows that children as young as 2 months old have already learned to distinguish characteristic vowel and consonant sounds in whatever language those around the children regularly speak. Researchers rewarded infants who responded with a head turn in the direction of the test sound. Vowel and consonant sounds distinctive to English and Swedish were used. American infants responded to English two-thirds of the time. Swedish infants ignored those sounds as gibberish. Swedish infants responded to the Swedish test sounds two-thirds of the time. American infants ignored these as gibberish. Researchers say that this shows that the children have already begun classifying the elements of language that they hear every day. This is the first step in organizing these sounds into meaningful words. Other research showed that by 6 months of age, infants already understand the basic emotional tones of language. Learning to speak takes much longer. The human ability to learn language appears to be pre-programmed into the infant brain. God created human beings for a relationship with himself. Because he loves even the least among us, he gave human infants built-in language skills. He couldn't wait to begin communicating with each human being born into this world.
For more information, visit us online at creationmoments.com. You'll find both written and audio transcripts, creation-focused articles and Bible studies, and many other resources, all at creationmoments.com.
We're back. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Please pray for this ministry, would you? And if God is blessing you in this ministry as we teach the Bible verse by verse, would you please write me or email me or call me and let me know? I have no way of knowing if this ministry is a blessing to you unless I hear from you. My address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. You can email me at versebyverse@live.com. That's versebyverse@live.com. Or you can call me, 715-845-8298. That's 715-845-8298. And your questions, your comments, your prayer requests are always welcome. And also, if you want to be a part of this missionary outreach, yes, that's what it is, home missions, getting the Word of God out to people in our area and actually around the world on the Internet, you can be a part of this ministry with your prayers and your financial support. Again, the address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. Thank you. Back to our study now. Chapter 2 of Luke, verse 21, says, on the eighth day, this is Jesus is 8 days old, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Now, in accordance with the law of God for Israel, Jesus, like every other little boy, was circumcised on day 8. Verse 22. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. 33 days after the circumcision of a baby boy. So on day 40, the parents were to bring him to the temple and present him to the Lord God. Joseph and Mary are doing that with Jesus. He is now 40 days old, 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, meaning every firstborn son in Israel was to be devoted to God. That's what's going on here, day 40 of Jesus' life. 24. And to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, as a way of dedicating the firstborn son to God, the parents were to offer a lamb as a sacrifice. That was the norm. In the case of poor parents, God said, in the Old Testament, he said, they could bring a pair of birds, a pair of doves instead. Can't afford a lamb? Bring a pair of doves. Well, notice what Mary and Joseph brought. Doves. Jesus was not born into a wealthy family. Nothing wrong with wealth. I'm just saying, the fact is, he was not a wealthy man. He was not born into a wealthy family. He did not have it easy growing up. He had to work for everything. Just like his father, stepfather, Joseph. And that's very important. The Bible says Jesus is a sympathetic Savior. He identifies with you. Jesus could pull up a stool at the local coffee shop and easily converse with the plumbers and the carpenters and the store clerks and everyone else who stops in and discusses how they're going to solve the world's problems before they go to work. I've been a part of a group like that. And that's what goes on. Jesus, he would have felt right at home. He could relate to the average guy because he grew up an average guy. Only, of course, he was sinless. 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he was waiting for the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, you can study the Bible from cover to cover, and you will notice that it is the righteous and the devout, like Simeon, who hear God's voice like he did right here. It is the righteous and devout are the one who sees, they're the ones who see God do miracles. They're the ones who see answers to prayer. They're the ones who get used by God and have real joy. The righteous and the devout. Going through life with one foot in Christ and another foot in sin is a waste of the precious moments that God gives us. It is a flat, flavorless, savorless way to live. 27. Moved by the Spirit, he that is Simeon went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, stop there. Simeon was in the temple area because he was righteous and devout. See? If he had stopped being righteous and devout, he probably would have stopped going to the temple. If he had stopped going to the temple, he would have missed being moved by the Spirit to go into the temple right here. And that would have robbed him of the blessing he was about to experience inside of the temple. The blessings of God begin with our devotion to him. Devotion starts a chain reaction of blessing. Puts us in the right place at the right time, doing the right things where God can bless. 27 through 30. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Stop there. Simeon's eyes have seen God's salvation. And you know where he was looking? He was looking right at Jesus. To those who think that there are many roads to heaven, notice please that Simeon did not say, "My eyes have seen one of God's salvations." "My eyes have seen your salvation." Jesus said, "Unless you believe in me, you will die in your sin." 1 John 5:12 says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." You know, you may not believe that Jesus is the only way, but you can't say that Jesus didn't believe that he was the only way. And you can't say that the Bible doesn't teach it, because it does. 27, actually, 30. Verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against." Jesus will cause the rising and the falling of many. Everything depends, everything hinges on what a person does with Christ. That's what this is saying. Most people rest their legs on a hassock. You remember Dick Van Dyke? He used to trip and fall over his. And Jesus is sort of like a hassock. He's the only way to heaven. Some people rest in that. Some people find refuge in that by receiving him. They rest in Christ. They kick up their spiritual legs and they rest in him. Others trip over the idea of him being the only Savior, just like Dick Van Dyke used to trip over his hassock. But tripping over Jesus is much more serious, because it results in eternal hell for those who reject him. 34 and 35. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against. so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul, your own soul, too. And it certainly did. Poor Mary. Must have been difficult at times, being the mother of Jesus. Well, great, great child. Never sinned. On the other hand, she no doubt watched her son being abused and used from the time he was little, and of course he would never fight back. And then, worst of all, she saw him as he was mocked and beaten and nailed to the cross. And knowing that it was for her sin that her son was dying. Talk about a sword piercing her heart. More difficult for a parent to watch their child suffer than it is for them to suffer themselves. She did not have it easy. 36. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Anna was married 7 years, then her husband died. She's now 84 and about to meet Christ. The greatest thing that ever happened to Anna was reserved for her 84th year. Verse 38, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Well, this woman walked with God. You know, at her age, Anna probably didn't have much zip left in her step. But she was a storehouse full of God's word and wisdom. Which leads me to say this, a love for God and the experience of age is a dynamite combination. Christians who live for the Lord do not become less effective and less useful for Jesus as they age. If anything, it's just the opposite. Questions, comments, you can write me. Scripture verse by verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin 54402-2211. That's Scripture verse by verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau 54402-2211. You can email me at versebyverse@live.com. That's versebyverse@live.com. Or you can call 715-845-8298. 715-845-8298. However you desire to communicate, I do hope that you communicate with me because I'd love to hear from you. Need to know that you're out there and that this program is a blessing to you and that the Word of God is blessing you. Of course, it's not me. It's the Bible. That's the thing that blesses. And if you're looking for a place to worship, you can come and join us. We meet Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock, Island Place, which is right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. That's 10 o'clock Sunday morning, Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. You are welcome to come and join us. And if you want
to invite you to listen to the radio worship service of St.